DHS, like Army and Air Force, saw some value in the OASIS contracts. We provide a very flexible vehicle that gives their contracting officers a lot of control and flexibility to take care of their professional service requirements. You're talking about organizations that spend a lot of money on professional services. And very simply stated, the IDIQ process, establishing their own contracts, administering those contracts over and over again for the same kinds of services, and in many cases the same vendors, is a very expensive proposition, both in terms of contracting resources and taxpayer money. So a lot of people have seen the value in the OASIS contracts that we bring to the table, and I think they see it as a real relief on some of their contracting resources.
When you read the press release that GSA put out, I know you didn't write it per se, I didn't see too much what's different. So when you look at this MOU, what will GSA be providing to DHS beyond access to OASIS? Because they already had, in many ways, access to OASIS. What's different?
When they signed the memorandum, it's a commitment to use the contracts. GSA and OASIS are always contract. We aim to be contracts of preference. We try to put as flexible a vehicle, a best contracting tool that can be utilized when appropriate for their mission requirements. By entering into the memorandum, OASIS is unique in that we have a tiered fee structure. So like Army and Air Force committed at a certain dollar threshold, which reduces their fee to a certain standard. Same thing applied with DHS. They saw the value of it. Basically, we looked across this federal government in their spending habits, in their IDIQ patterns. There's been an explosion of IDIQ contracting over the last 10 years. What agencies are really realizing now, those are very expensive to do. They take 2 to 5 years to put in place, and that's before you even spend a nickel. And that's when you get a chance to go to the task orders now and start competing all those. So we tried to make OASIS cheaper for government to use than establishing their own vehicles, and I think a lot of people are seeing the value in that.
How much is DHS committing to spend on OASIS? Obviously, I think it was with the Army or the Air Force, it was $500 million. Is DHS up that high, and what kind of fee structure are they seeing because they're making such a commitment?
The Army and Air Force entered into agreements at the $500 million a year range, and that resulted in a fee of 0.1%, or 0.1%. DHS's commitment level and the agreement is on our website at www.gsa.gov/oasis. They're committing to $250 million a year, and in return for that commitment, we're offering them a 0.25% or 0.25%.
And now this is a big difference because the current OASIS fee, remind me again, is what? Because this is a pretty significant cut.
GSA's normal fee for most of their contract vehicles, including the GSA Schedules program, is 0.75% or 0.75%. And that's the standard rate for OASIS as well. For, again, we wanted the concept of the more you use the contract, the cheaper it becomes, save the government money, make using OASIS cheaper than establishing your own IDIQ contracts. For agencies that have high spend thresholds or high spending levels in professional services, we designed this tiered fee structure to make it attractive for them to consider OASIS.
The other benefit that DHS or Army or Air Force or whomever will get is the look into what they're buying, how they're buying it, all the data that comes with that. Is that something that is showing through the first year or so with Air Force, or the first 6 or so months with Army, making a big difference for them in terms of how their buying habits go forward?
We're getting a lot of positive feedback. The way OASIS works, our contractors will put intertransactional level data into our databases. We have a public-facing dashboard now that we just launched recently. We've gotten rave reviews back from our client base about the insight that it gives them, Air Force as a whole, in various compartments. We're already working on version 2.0 to let them drill down deeper into those numbers to get a handle on where their money goes, how much of it, and what branches, what areas, so they can better manage it.
Talk a little bit about that public-facing dashboard. First, give us the link. We'll link to it on federalnewsradio.com, of course, but give us the link and then also tell us where the impetus came from and what can people use it for.
It's first off, it's found on our website, www.gsa.gov/oasis. There's a link on the left that says OASIS Dashboards. Click there. There's a hyperlink to the actual dashboard. It's really a summary level graphic interface for looking at spending on OASIS that comes from, we had a very robust client working group going into the development of OASIS. This is one of the things that they indicated they wanted. We have the entire OASIS contract team has experience with the Alliant program as well, and Millennia Light before that, and Millennia before that. And we between our client working group and our background and experience, we knew this was an important issue. Being able to see at a glance, getting graphical database demonstration of spending data. So we're trying to provide that to our clients.
And this is by agency or by vendor or both?
What we currently have the ability to do is go by agency, by subcomponent of agency. So if you go within Air Force, there are certain components, or within Department of Defense, there are certain components. You can see the spending there. You can see it by vendor as well on OASIS Prime. You can differentiate between OASIS and OASIS Small Business. You can sort by a number of orders. You can sort by obligated values. One of the things we plan to add in the future would be the total estimated value of the contracts as well as the obligated value, and also be able to drill deeper into some of the subcomponents between agencies.
You have three big organizations signed MOUs. How similar or different is the DHS MOU with Air Force and Army? And then looking forward, are there other agencies who also you're talking to? And tell us as much as you can about who they are. You may not be able to name the specific agency, I know.
Absolutely. The DHS memo is very similar to the Air Force and Army memo. Again, the commitment threshold a little different, as we indicated earlier, but in effect, the same thing. We provide a lot of training to them. Very proud to say we've trained over almost 5,000 people nationwide now, just the OASIS program. Supply, we're approaching 900 DPAs worldwide. So we've been providing a lot of training. We provide a lot of hands-on support and helping them with develop their solicitations, the interactive tools that we talked about, the OASIS Discovery Market Research tool, the OASIS dashboards, the OASIS estimating tool. There are a lot of different things on our website. If you take time and explore around there, there's a lot of tools and training, different types of training that we provide. Of course, OASIS being an IDIQ operates in FAR Part 16. We provide a lot of training for contracting officers in FAR 16. We consider ourselves to be experts in that realm of contracting, so we do help a lot on a day-to-day basis. About 80 to 85% of our time is spent in assisting ordering contracting officers.
Other agencies who are interested, in any other conversations going on?
I can't really get into the details of naming agencies, but you know, nobody wants to be the first to jump in the water. But Air Force saw the value of OASIS early and were early adopters. They now see a lot of success that Air Force is having. So now we've seen Air Force and DHS follow suit with that, and we have a lot of things in the pipeline. I think government missions are different, but the way we do business is relatively the same. There are a lot of professional service requirements out there. So I think you will see, we're likely to see other memorandums fall into place.
Looking more broadly, you talked about the dashboard and the version 2.0 is on its way. What else should we expect from OASIS over the next, you know, 6 or 9 months? What else are you guys looking at to make it more valuable?
Over the next year, I would say the focus right now is still more outreach, more training, getting people familiar with OASIS, what it can do, the breadth of the scope of OASIS, and what it can't do. Rolling out more tools, improving on the tools that we have. You'll probably see an update to the OASIS estimating tool. We already have inputs on updates to the OASIS Discovery Market Research tool, updates to the dashboards. We're trying to roll out, right now it's comically called Task Order Development System, or TODS. So we're trying to roll out a skeleton task order development system to help provide more templates for, all right, you know, I want to do a cost reimbursement task order, or here's a basic framework. I want to load my clauses in. Now, here's the ones that would apply, and they would automatically populate. Those kinds of things. Trying to build things to make contracting officers' lives a little easier, help speed up the process.
One thing about OASIS is it took a while to kind of get going, and now you're going. What kind of response are you seeing? Do you have some statistics around which agencies are using it and how much money is being spent through? Can you give us some basics?
Overall, I'd say OASIS has been doing exceptionally well. If you really look at the time frames when the notice proceeds were issued, when all the final protests were settled that I'm proud to say we were successful with, we've really had about 6 months worth of ordering time. And in those 6 months, we're already at the total estimated value, about $1.8 billion on OASIS, which translates to about, right now, actively about $250 million in actual obligations. $1.3 billion of that has gone to small business, and $180 million of that to small business as well. So we're really proud of our small business record on OASIS. Of course, Air Force is the leader. They were the first to adopt. They went in, they invested heavy in OASIS. Army is right behind them and trying to catch up. On the civilian side, we've had Department of Energy has been aggressive in using OASIS. Agriculture's used it as well. We've seen VA and now DHS coming on board as well. Again, just about every agency in the federal government purchases professional services. So, and OASIS is the first government-wide IDIQ contract for professional services that allows for cost reimbursement. So we tried to make it as flexible as possible with as much control as possible at the agency level, at the task order level, and I think that's real appealing to a lot of people.
Can't let you go without talking about category management, a favorite discussion area for GSA, generally speaking. OASIS is going to fall into that area of category management. I know there's a professional services hallway that has either A, been stood up, or B, about to be stood up. And give me a sense of how are you preparing for that move into that broader idea of category management from an OASIS perspective?
We have already transitioned part of our reorganization. We actually now fall under Region 10 of GSA and the professional services category management team. We make up a conservatively a good chunk of their professional services presence. Of course, the professional services schedule and the one schedule consolidation for professional services is another big initiative that's going on there. So really day-to-day, it doesn't affect our perspective. From a hallway category management perspective, OASIS is a very important tool to include as part of the possible solution mix.